May I call, please?
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 4-0098 now for the last 3/4 of an hour. And the line is always busy, but I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
Murray Hill 4-0098. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all the time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight. And I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 4-0098.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, George?
Sir?
Hello? Who is this? What number am I calling? Please.
We have heard from our client. He says the coast is clear for tonight.
Yes, sir.
Where are you now?
In a phone book.
Okay, you know the address. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer. Be sure that all the lights downstairs are out. There should be only one light visible from the street. At 11:15, a subway train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window is open and she should scream.
Oh, hello! What number is it, please?
Okay, I understand.
Make it quick, as little blood as possible. Our client does not wish to make her suffer long.
A knife, okay, sir?
Yes, the knife will be okay. And remember, remove the rings and bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer. Our client wishes it to look like a simple robbery.
Okay, I get.
Oh, how awful!
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry, ma'am. What number were you calling?
What is supposed to be Murray Hill 4-0098, but it wasn't. Some wires must have crossed. I was cut into the wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing, a murder, and... Operator, you simply have to retrace that call at once.
Hey, your partner, ma'am. I don't quite...
Oh, I know it was the wrong number, and I had no business listening. But these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor innocent woman, who was all alone in the house near a bridge. And we've got to stop them. We've got to.
What number were you calling, ma'am?
It doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it. And we've got to find out what it was. Immediately.
But ma'am...
Oh, why are you so stupid? You look, it's obvious the case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 4-0098 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was next with some other number. I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply failed to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again, on purpose. Why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 4-0098 in the same careless sort of way.
Murray Hill 4-0098. I will try to get for you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Murray Hill 4-0098 is busy.
Operator.
Yes, ma'am?
You didn't try to get the wrong number at all. I asked explicitly. And all you did was dial correctly.
I'm sorry, what number were you calling?
Can't you for once forget what number I was calling and do something specific? Now I want to trace a call. It's my civic duty. It's your civic duty to trace a call and to apprehend those dangerous killers. And if you won't...
I will connect you with the chief operator. Miss Curtis, will you pick up on 17, please?
Yes, dear. What's the trouble?
Somebody wanting to call Trace. I can't make a head nor tail of it.
Okay. 17, this is the chief operator.
Chief operator? I want Trace to call. Please call me.
17, this is the chief operator.
Chief operator, I want to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately, and I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it was absolutely necessary that it be tracked down, because it was about a murder. Yes, a terrible cold-blooded murder of a poor innocent woman, tonight, at 11:15.
I see.
Can you trace for me? Can you track down those men?
It depends, madam.
Depends on what?
It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's alive, all we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
When the snow had melted, there was no roads or trails. There wasn't any roads. It was just trails through the bush. When we got behind, we were supposed to get to Lewis at dinner. We got there at 4 o'clock. Well, they changed horses, gave us lunch, and we figured we'd stay at Billy Smith's that night. They figured that. Well, you got there about 9 o'clock, and the place was full. There used to be a lot of freighting, all freighting with horses, you see. And there was a bunch of freight teams came down from here that afternoon, and they filled everything up, and there was no room for anything. So they said...
No room in the inn.
They had to come on. No room in the inn. We had to come right on into Athabasca. There was four of us left the stage there and walked. We got in here about between 12 and 1 o'clock, and they didn't get it around 3 o'clock in the morning when we got in here.
How much did it cost a person to come by stage?
I don't remember.
$8.
$8, that's what it was.
What did you do after you got here?
Well, I located my homestead and filed on it. That's all I did then. I went out and had to go out and go to work.
What did you do? Had to brush it by hand or not?
Oh, I brushed most of it by hand. I brushed 100 acres by hand.
100 acres? By yourself?
Yes, most of it by myself, yes. And then the power gears came in. Didn't take long, it went faster, quite a bit faster.
Yeah.
Is that record player working?
Yeah.
Be careful, folks.
Does anyone remember how much it cost to come by train when the train first came in?
I don't know.
I don't know. I went on the train, but I didn't know. I forgot.
It wasn't so.
It wasn't any more than the bus, I don't think. I don't think it was as much.
As much. It used to be about 3 cents a mile those days on the train. Yeah. I remember when they came here from the Minneapolis or St. Paul, it was a regular fare. And when we got to Fort Francis, where you got a different ticket there. It was a cent a mile. They charged you a cent a mile for the rest of the way. And that was good for 30 days. You could travel all through the country for a cent a mile. You had got a stop, and when you wanted to go somewhere else, you put that in, they sold you a ticket for a cent a mile. Keep that up. It was a good way to see the country, though, for a person
yeah.
that didn't have much money.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And what year did you get here?
1907.
Did you came to your folks?
It came with my brother. Or like Mrs. Chamber, the horses, the covered wagon. We were 8 days on the way coming up.
Where was that from?
Edmonton.
And you've lived here ever since?
Yes, I've lived here ever since. The first school teacher in Athabasca, his name was Dean, D-E-A-N, and he was a young fellow from Nova Scotia. I think it was his first school. That was before your time, Mrs. Shank, wasn't it?
It must have been because Mrs. Eaton was a teacher. Then when did McLeod start to teach?
Oh, that was long after, quite a few years after Elliot McLeod taught. There were several teachers for him.
Can any of you remember when the electricity first came around, or when it came into Athabasca, or was it here?
It was in the It was in the early 40s. The first electricity they had here was the creamery, McLeod.
Yes.
Had the town, just the town. That's
yeah,
all.
That's right.
That was the first electric, that is the public, any public plant. They had their own, a lot of them had their own plants, small plants, you know, before.
Yeah.
Well, McLeod was the first one. He electrified the town, and he also heated some buildings there from the creamery. The same place the creamery is now.
What year was that?
I don't remember the year. I don't remember the year. It would be in the early 40s or late 30s.
Yeah. I don't remember
that. Hard to keep track of those things.
Yeah. When did it start branching out to the country?
Pardon?
When did it start branching out to the country?
Just here a few years ago,
The
hospital had to have their own power. Yeah,
the late 40s and 50s. I know out by way it came out there in the early 50s.
Not the, that's the telephone, wasn't it?
No, the power.
Oh?
Oh, yes. because I was working in town and I wouldn't put it in because I knew I wasn't going to stay there. And I was working for the Imperial then. And I was in bother because I knew I wasn't going to stay there.
Well, I thought that who put in, didn't Red work on the first power? Didn't he build the first power poles around here?
I think he did.
Well, that was later than 50, wasn't it?
Well, they were building right all along from then on to now. I guess they're still building.
I can't remember dates, but
the big expansion came when the Calgary Park took it over. You see, that was the Northland Utilities had it first.
The Calgary Power took over in 1865, wasn't it?
Yeah. From Northland.
Yes, just 1965. And. Well, I suppose there were some places they built earlier than that, too. Out there came the early 50s, between 50 and 55.
Where was that a boat?
Northeast of here, 10 miles northeast, on this side of the river. Park District, did you ever hear about that place?
Oh, yeah.
They call it Park View now. They changed the name of it.
Is that right?
Yes.
I never heard that.
Oh, yes. They have a hall, the old schoolhouse, they have it there for a hall.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the Cloverdale District was north of there, and they sold that schoolhouse. They came together.
That's where the locksmen lived, didn't they?
Pardon?
The locksmen, that's where they lived up there.
Yes, the locksmen, they live up there. And they got a society there now, and they all joined together.
Where boats was it where you lived?
South at the basket.
What did you do in later years?
Well, I was a school teacher when I came up here. I taught 1 year in the States, and I came up here. I taught 4 years here. I taught the first rural school, I guess, around Key School, east of Carlton, you know that is.
We get it on the map.
Yeah, Key School.
What year was that?
That was 1908.
What were wages like then for school teacher?
Well, it was the first one I was in the States was $40 a month, but here it was around $50 a month, I think. and then the next time that I taught it was $700 a year.
That was year, what year?
Yearly, 1910. $700. Now it's $7,000, isn't it?
Probably that. Yeah.
Can you remember any fires or anything that happened around Athabasca? In the early years, like the town burned.
Well, I remember the time the town burnt. Everything from burnt. Those two locks burnt. Clear from where the Super A is now. The hotel went. Both hotels. There was another hotel where the landing motors garage. There was a hotel there, the Athabasca Hotel. It went too. And it went up to the middle of the block, burnt everything.
There. Right up to the confectionery there.
Yes, right up there. Everything. The creamery was, it went up that far. That was the old Rivian building, one of the old Rivian warehouses where the creamery is now. They just fixed it up for the creamery and they've been building on it ever since. It's part of that old building in there yet.
Yeah.
Rivian's
warehouse. Rivian's warehouse.
They had a general store.
General stores.
Revians and Hudson Bay and Lassard's
They were generals. They sold everything. Well, LaSalle didn't come in quite a while afterwards. You know, but when I first came in, it was only Hudson Bay and the Caribbean. LaSalle was here when we came in 1907. Well, they were up in the West End town.
Well, they just built that afterwards. Must have been later than that.
Mm-hmm. LaSalle was here in 1907.
He was here when I came here.
Yeah, we traded with him. But out quite ways, it was up in the creek. Right, his store was right to the creek in the West End.
But he had his store in Gagnon's place there for not a long while. You know, Gagnon had built after that Athabasca dead one. What was the name of it? Union Hotel or what?
Grand Union.
Grand Union.
Grand Union. And this one was at the Basker Hotel.
Yes.
Well, he built there.
Garden.
He used to live in the back. And he had the rooms upstairs used to rent.
Yeah, the one that burnt, he built. That's the one Gagnon built. The one that burnt.
No, he built after that. And he was living there because I was working for them.
He built the one they tore down then. So they built another big one after that.
Well, it wasn't a hotel what they built.
Yes, that's a hotel, yes.
Oh, yes, but after it burned down, they never built it.
Yes, they built another one.
That was George Lang, wasn't it?
No, they didn't build no other hotel after that. Yes, they did, a great big hotel, because there was a boy from out there clerked in it. Sure, I don't remember who built it. It was a big place. It stood right where our landing orders stand now.
Well, that was the Athabasca Hotel.
Yes, that's where the old Athabasca Hotel. It burnt. And then they built another one there. But they tore it down. Sold it.
What was the name of the other hotel?
Pardon?
What was the name of the other hotel that they built in place, the Athabasca Hotel?
Well, that's what the same
was. It was called the Athabasca Hotel. I don't know who built it or whether it's done.
They tore it down again?
Did they tore it down?
George Lang built a
hotel. That was down the other block, the Lang block.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it never opened, though, did it? He never got a license.
No, he never got a license. No. They tore that one down.
It was not a Roman place.
Well, it was, but he figured on a hotel.
Yes.
Yeah.
He never got a license.
What were most of these buildings built of?
Well, the first ones were all built of wood.
Yeah, but, was it plain lumber? Or
oh, yes.
Plain lumber?
There was a sawmill here.
Yes, plain lumber.
Oh, it was the sawmill, the first sawmill.
Gagnon.
The first sawmill.
He had it way out where the fellows live. He still lives in Gagnon's house.
West,
out west there, the fellow that sells. Oh, his name is Martin, yeah. That's what his first name.
Fred Martin.
Yeah.
Fred Martin, yes.
Well, he lives in that house. He fixed it up, of course, but he lives in the same house Gagnon built, and he used to have their sawmill there.
Yes. Gagnon, yeah. Like Gagnon.
Oh, they've been gone a long while ago.
After that, when I came here, Smith and Woods had one there, too. There was two of them. Smith and Woods had one. It stood right down there where the old powerhouse is now. Down there, and where Smith and Woods. And somebody else had somewhere. Jack Russell. They used to saw for the Hudson Bay Company. They'd saw for the scow lumber. They built scows in the hundreds here at that time.
Bring the freight way down to north.
All the freight to the north went through here. Everything went through here.
And it was Brown that used to build it. What was his first name?
Angus Brown built those cows.
Where was he set up
at? Gagnon had his out west, and some woods were right down there where the old powerhouse is now.
They floated the Lookstown River?
I don't know. Yes, they. Yes, they rafted the logs
out. Yeah,
it is. What was the price on lumber then?
About $15 a thousand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
About $20 a day. Yes. $5 for planting in the jar.
How about grain?
Can you remember the price of grain?
40 cents a bushel for oats. We had to haul them from way down the wall.
40 cents a bushel? What year was that?
Around 1908, 9, 10.
That was a pretty good price, wasn't it?
Well, it was, I guess, then. But there was none growing here, though.
Well, they were all shipped in.
But farmers hadn't started yet.
No, there wasn't very few farmers, if there was any, where they hadn't.
The first wheat was grown out west of town by
George Hank.
Well, there was one before that.
No, he grew the first wheat on top of the hill.
No, but there was
the hill there that goes out east.
There was one before that.
Way on top there.
He was county office is, so where the county office is now.
On that side, yeah. There's more on the other side.
Major.
Yeah.
Major grew the first wheat.
I always heard was George Hank.
It's in the records. If the records were here, it was Major. Because when we had the old timers, we had an old timers meeting organization in Athabasca, and that was on the records. It was only a small patch. I don't suppose it was more than 5 acres or so, but he had it was on record that he had the first wheat, and they thrashed it with horses.
Horsepower?
Yes, horsepower.
And how about livestock? Cattle and that? Were they little?
When did cattle first come in here? How old is
it? Oh, Gagnon had a ranch. He used to have lots of cattle and horses.
Most of the people.
He had a ranch where he had his homestead there. Yes. That.
With,
he owned the town, I guess, Gagnon, them days.
They couldn't go in. Unless they asked Gagnon, they'd say, what does Gagnon think of that? What does Gagnon say about that? And whenever they went to do anything, it seems funny to me when I heard that. What does Gagnon think about that? What does he say about it?
Well, everybody had cows because we bought quite a few cows when we first come here. We was on the farm.
Yeah, we had
cows.
How much
did you have to pay for?
$25 a head we bought cattle.
For
cows? Milk cows.
About $400 now.
Yes.
Can you remember anyone having any hogs?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they had hogs.
They had hogs, chickens, and stuff like that.
That's about all.
They'd bring it in, yeah, when they come to Athabasca, well, they'd bring something like that.
It was a few years before they got going, when they got raised for grain.
Yeah.
First years, there wasn't very many cattle or hogs either.
But after the train came in, that brought more people in, more livestock.
Oh, yes.
Well, you could get grain then shipped in.
Yes.
And that goes so far to haul it.
Yeah.
Took 2 days to go down to Walls to get a load of grain.
Did you do any fishing or not?
I never done any fishing, but there was lots of it done around here then. Quite a lot. Well, not that time, they didn't commercial
not
fish.
Not commercial,
that. But commercial fishing came later. And, well, between 1915 and 1920, it started. By 1920, it was really big.
But you could go out to any of the creeks in the spring and get all the fish you wanted with a pitchfork or something to scrape them out or throw them out of the water.
Do you remember anything?
That's when they were going down to lay their eggs.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the fur trade?
No, I never had much to do with the fur trade. I never trapped any of that. It was it was lots of fur when I came here, lots of fur trading, but I never did any trapping.
We found out that that was probably the first industry that anybody ever took up, like anybody, was the first thing they did.
Yes, there was, when they first came here, there was lots of fur coming, lots of fur buyers everywhere.
Yeah, I did come from the city and buy fur.
Yes.
Oh, yes, all over.
All over.
I heard my husband say that he hauled the most valuable load of furs out of the north. And they were live fox, shipping them down to, wasn't it Newfoundland, or where was it that they had a fox, that fox fox farm. Fox farm were raising these black foxes, and they had these foxes in pens, wire pens, and guarded night and day because they were so valuable. Worth about $1,500 each.
$1,500?
I don't know how many would be in the load, but they were very valuable anyway.
Can you remember the price of any other furs, like squirrel or...
Well, they didn't bother with squirrels.
No, that was too...
they didn't bother with squirrels at all. It was all fox. It was all foxes.
Silver fox is worth $1,000.
Yes,
$1,000.
Black ones, $1,500. Red ones were $25.
Then they start digging the foxes up. The little pups, you know, in the spring. Everybody had foxes.
Yes, they had a fox farm down the river here, but about 5 miles down.
I don't know what happened. They wouldn't let them go or what?
I don't know.
They went broke. Then the price of furs went down.
Because a red fox wasn't worth that much.
There's a neighbor of mine out there. He caught what he thought was a coyote and brought him in here. And he asked the fur buyer how much he'd give me. He said $350. He nearly fainted. He didn't know what it was. He had a silver fox. He thought it was a coyote. That was Yucatel. Maybe you heard him.
Yeah, I know.
He nearly keeled over when the buyer offered him $350 first. He thought he had a $15 car. He was there.
Was beaver worth anything then?
Well, I don't know what the beaver was worth.
We never heard anything about beaver, did we, in the days gone by? I don't remember people.
The big beaver was over before we got here. The big, real big beaver, real beaver harvest was over before we got here. Then it was all foxes. Mink, that's
yeah.
But I never know there was some beaver, but they were not.
They don't get them till spring, the beavers, do they?
Well, the big beaver season was over before then. They got them thinned down, and so there was the odd one came in, but not like it was earlier.
Mushrats were worth quite a bit.
Yes, they were worth. Big business, still a big business when I came here, the fur was. But I never trapped, and I didn't. I'd be like, you could tell I wouldn't know what I had anyway. I didn't catch it. So I didn't bother with it.
What did you do in later years, say about 20s, 30s?
In the 20s, I was farming out there, at least here.
You farmed there?
Stay there. I proved up, I proved with the host, and then I had a way to work out to make enough to come back and start. I got back and got started in 1920. And I stayed out there till I came in here. 1963, I came in here. I was out there ever since.
About floods, do you remember any great floods around here?
Oh yes, they had a flood before we come here.
Yeah, they had.
1903, I think it was.
Yes, they were driving and going in boats down the street from the bank to the river in rowboats.
Yes, I wasn't here then.
Right up.
They came right up the bank.
I wasn't, but my husband was.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they claimed.
Yeah.
When was the Commerce Bank built?
It was here when I came here.
Here when I came here in 1907.
Yes, it's been here for a long time. Yeah. Been there a long time.
Same bank, same building.
Same building, everything was here. When I came here, it was here.
It wasn't Commerce Bank.
No, it was the Imperial Bank.
Yeah.
Imperial Bank.
We had quite a few banks once upon a time. Yeah. The Royal Bank.
The Bank of Commerce was here when I came here. The Imperial and the Bank of Commerce and the Royal Bank was here.
Yeah.
It was three. Yeah. I can remember. I can remember.
Yeah, there were three.
Yes, there were three banks.
Well,
not very long ago since the bank of the Imperial Bank changed its name.
No, it's not always. And the Bank of Nova Scotia was it was the only bank here for a long time after the boom went out. See, when the railroads got built, there was no more freight going through. There was nothing here anymore, like the farming. And there was only one bank for quite a few years till the Bank of Nova Scotia came. They came in sometime in the 1940s, I think.
The still alarm.
Well, Bob, it's certainly been nice to see you again.
It was nice to see you.
You come to town so seldom. I hardly ever get a chance to.
Well, you know how it is. A business trip is all more or less a bore.
Next time, you've got to come out to the house.
I want to come out. I just had to stick around the hotel this trip.
Oh, I understand. I'll give my best to Edith.
Oh, I say, Ed. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I know you wanted to show you something. Did you know I'm going to build
a house?
You bet it's a house. Come in. I just got these yesterday.
Well, that's fine.
Come in.
Mr. Barclay?
Well?
I have a message from the clerk, sir, for Mr. Barclay personally.
Mr. Barclay, what is the message?
Hotel is on fire, sir.
What's that?
The hotel is on fire.
This hotel?
Yes, sir.
Well, is it bad?
It looks pretty bad, sir.
You mean it's going to burn down?
We think so, yes, sir.
Well, we'd better leave.
Yes, sir.
Going to burn down, huh?
Yes, sir. If you step to the window, you'll see.
Yes, that is pretty bad. I say you really ought to see this.
It reaches the floor right underneath.
Yes, sir. The lower part of the hotel is about gone, sir.
Still right up above, though. Have they notified the fire department?
I wouldn't know, sir. I'm only the bellboy.
Well, that's the thing to do, obviously. Notify the fire department. Just call them up, give them the name of the hotel.
Wait a minute. I can do better than that for you. Ring through to the chief and tell him that Ed Jameson told you to telephone him. We went to school together, you know.
That's fine. Now, get that right. Tell the chief that Mr. Jameson said to ring him.
Ed Jameson.
Yes, Ed Jameson.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. Here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Well, say, we'll have to get out of here pretty soon.
How is it? No better?
Worse if anything. It'll be up here in a few moments.
What floor is this?
11.
11. Couldn't jump then.
Oh, no. You never could jump. Well, I'd better get my things together.
Who made these for you?
A fellow here, Collins. I have to call one of the other hotels for a room.
Oh, you can get in.
They're pretty crowded. Say, the floor's getting hot.
I know it. It's getting stuffy in the room, too. P.U. Hello. Ice water in 1118.
That's the stuff. You know, if I move to another hotel, I'll never get my mail. Everybody thinks I'm stopping here.
Hey, this isn't bad.
Do you like it? Suppose I go to another hotel, and there's a fire there, too.
You've got to take some chance.
I know, but here I'm sure. Ring. What's up, will you, Red?
Sure. Ring. Hello. Oh, that's good. Fine. What? Oh, wait a minute. The firemen are downstairs and some of them want to go up to this room.
Tell them, of course.
All right, come right up. Now we'll get some action.
See, there's an awful crowd of people on the street.
Maybe there's been some kind of accident.
No, more likely they heard about the fire. Come in.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Barclay. The firemen have arrived.
Show them in.
Mr. Barclay?
I'm Mr. Barclay.
We're the firemen, Mr. Barclay.
Howdy do.
Howdy do.
A great pleasure, I assure you. Really must apologize for the condition of this room, but...
Oh, that's all right. I know how it is at home.
May I present a friend of mine, Mr. Ed Jameson.
How are you?
How are you, boys? I know your chief.
Oh, is that so? He knows the chief. Dear old chiefy.
I guess you boys want to get to work, don't you?
Well, if you don't mind, we'd like to spray around a little. Sprinklers. Opens it and takes out the violin.
I don't think you understand.
Well, you see, Sid doesn't get much chance to practice at home. Sometimes at a fire where we're waiting for a wall to fall or something, why, a fireman doesn't really have anything to do. And personally, I'd like to see him improve himself. I hope you don't mind.
Of course not.
The second fireman is now waxing his bow. Well, if you'll excuse me.
Charming personalities.
How was the fire?
It's pretty bad right now. This wall will go pretty soon, but it'll fall out that way, so it's all right. The next room is the place to fight it from.
Oh, aren't those gorgeous?
Have you a key for this room?
Why, no, I have nothing to do with that room. I've just got this one.
Oh, it's very comfortable.
That's too bad. I had something up my sleeve. If I could have gotten in there, oh well. May I use your phone?
Please do. Do you think you might hold this?
How?
Just crawl under. Thanks. Hello, let me have the clerk, please. Give us that little thing you played the night the Equitable building burned down. Are you there? This is one of the firemen. Oh, you know, I'm in a room. Oh, goody. Will you send someone up the key? There's no one in there? Oh, super goody. Right away.
That's fine. Won't you sit down?
Thanks.
Have a cigar.
Much obliged.
A light?
If you please.
Bob, have you a match?
I thought there was some here.
Oh, never mind.
It's a magic piece. The man in the water bathroom let it snout. Gosh, oh gosh. Gosh, my eyes.
Why'd you guys all look when I just did it?
You didn't know what you were doing?
I thought it was something flowers.
Yeah,
it's true.
This is hilarious language when we kiss each
other. I want to go off.
She's beautiful. I'm going to go there if you want to go right into this before.
Goddamn tea in it, get everything ready to go, and let's just
where that baker is now.
Yeah, so where the bakery is. That's right.
Yes.
And then the United Church was, or the Methodist Church was just down then, between that and Shinkinger someplace.
Yeah.
Right there.
What kind of movies did they show up? Ones you had to read?
I guess so. I never was. They used to have a woman play the piano, Mrs. Lewis. Mrs. Lewis used to play the piano. I don't know. I never. I think we used to read it. I think so too.
What years?
About 1911 or something. Oh,
later than that.
That building was a barn.
Yeah. 1913, not any.
It stood where the government building is now. It faced north, and then when the freighting played out, the barn business played out, well, they moved that barn up there and made a theater out of it.
It was a barn.
Yeah. First movie theater.
Was it very big?
No, it was big. As big as any, plenty big enough for a theater.
But there was a theater here before that. There was a theater up there where near Roger's store, joining Roger's store on the corner, as I said, and some fellows from Edmonton.
Yes.
And that was before this other theater.
Yes.
And that was quite a big place, too.
Someone told us that there was a theater over top of a store.
Oh, well, that Parker was Parker's store.
Parker's store.
They tore that apart.
Yeah. And this day, Angel Theater burned down, you see, well, then they had no other building, so then they used to have a show upstairs in Park Store. That's where the theater was for a long time.
And on for years until Hall built the theater.
Hall built that one over there. Yes, there was lots of shows there.
Dances and nothing another.
The old stable building was built where it is now. The old stable building, that's it, that yellow building down there.
Oh, there used to be two barns. One was, the first one was Delrose.
Delrose,
yeah.
Delrose.
Yeah. It was closer to the street there where...
it was just back of the hotel.
On this side.
Yeah. That was...
And then Dion built a barn. And it's still there.
When I came here, there was three barns.
Oh, there was another one at the other end towards the west.
Yeah, Oliver had the barn where his barn was where the McLean's Electric is now. It stood right there. Mm-hmm. That's where Oliver's barn was. And then there was another one down on the corner, you know where the Landing Motors are, on that corner right there, there was another barn there. Bill Joint was on that barn. Oliver bought it that way. I worked there. We had two barns there. And then Bill Day had the barn up where the government building stands now.
That's where the Daniel barn is now.
And he used to make his auction sale.
Where the Daniel barn was. It faced north.
Yeah, that's right.
The Daniel barn faced, it was built after that,
yeah.
It faced west, right where the liquor store, right, it was right south of the liquor store.
And your dad had auction sales there,
yeah.
Where
yes.
Schenkinger is there, around
yes,
there.
Auction sale. They used to have boys going around ringing the bell. Auction sale. Auction sale Saturday. It's quite different to what the auction is now.
Have you noticed much change in Athabasca?
Oh, yes.
In the population
and everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, one time there was quite a big population here, the boom time, but that didn't last long.
Yes, there was almost as many here then as there is now.
So.
Yes, they all went when the railroads went to the north, well, they all had to go out of here because there was nothing here anymore for those people. Because it was quite a thing, and everything they used down north of here went through here, and it was quite a lot of extra things to do around here then. Yeah.
People came here and went through.
It was lost one to Peace River.
They came here by railroad and then went straight north.
Lots of them came with their teams and stuff. They went. They were from the south. Didn't have no fun.
That time.
Dry.
That time, all the freight for Peace River went through here. They sent down teams in the winter and hauled it up there from all over the country. Yeah,
that's how the farmers made their living. In the winter, they freighted.
Freight.
Mr. Langley said he used to sleep out in 80 below.
Well, they did.
Mine seemed like 80 below.
It had to be in 60 anyway.
Yeah.
When I worked in the barn there was one outfit there in the winter, Cummings, Ben Cummings. There was an outfit there, they wouldn't sleep in the hotel when they came here. They just put their beds right out in the flat yard there and sleep on the ground. Right in the winter. Well, they were tough then.
They didn't have no sleeping bags either.
No,
they had those Hudson Bay blankets. Three or four of those 4-point Hudson Bay blankets,
oh,
so
yeah.
You could sleep on the ground with them. They said when they came here and slept in a warm hotel a couple of nights and went out on the road, then they always got cold.
Yeah.
And if they stayed out, they never got cold. That's what they used to claim.
Well, that's right. That's
yes.
A reason.
Yes.
Well, we don't hear this played back, do we?
This is Robert Lines and Brian Locksman of the Edwin Parr Composite High School. We are at the Anglican Church of Athabasca interviewing Reverend Rathbone.
The Anglican Church began its work in Athabasca Lending on June the 1st, 1894, and the school was opened in the Mission House with a Miss Worcester as a teacher. Within a few months, Bishop Young had taken up residence and the first St. Matthew's Church was built. The same year, Bishop Young had a printing press set up in his study. upon which small books containing Bible passages, hymns, and prayers were produced in syllabics for the natives. At the end of 1903, Bishop Young resigned owing to ill health and returned to live in Liverpool, England. He died at Southborough in Kent on July 12, 1905 at the age of 62. And that is the beginning of the church at Athabasca Landing. Originally, it was to deal with natives, but as soon as the trail was finished from the CPR in Calgary through Edmonton, the place assumed a greater importance, and a petition was taken up to have the diocese of Athabasca include Athabasca Landing, which in 1894 was part of the Diocese of Calgary. This was done, and the Diocese of Athabasca then took in Athabasca Landing and Colinton. This was done so that the bishop could reside in Athabasca Landing. And the bishops of Athabasca resided here until 1915. The site on which the present health unit office is located was the site of the bishop's residence. And when the bishop moved his residence to Peace River in 1915, he gave the residence to the town of Athabasca as a hospital, and I believe that the whole property was turned over to the town for a nominal sum of $1. The next work that was begun was in the outlying districts as the farmers began to move in, and St. Albans, South Athabasca, was built in 1915. Then, following the construction of St. Albans, South Athabasca, there was St. John's Grossmont. Now, St. John's Grossmont used to be on the northwest corner of Mike Yannick's farm, and it remained there until 1956, when it was moved to its present location in Grossmont. And it used to be known as St. John's West Athabasca. And the family that had a great deal to do with that church out there was the Stafford family. If you want any further information about the church, Mr. Stafford could tell you. There are a number of plaques in the church commemorating the lives of members of the Stafford family. Then, as the country began to open up, work was begun in Big Cooley, not at the site of the present church, but south of that. As time went on, as you can see in this photograph over here at Big Cooley, there's a house back in here, and that log house, which was torn down 2 years ago, supplied the residents for the Anglican Church van workers. And the Anglican Church van workers used to drive around the countryside taking Sunday school and conducting services on Sunday, and generally providing Christian education for children, and providing some sociability for ladies in the outlying district. Archdeacon Nipple came to this parish in, I believe it was 1924, and there's a memorial window to him here in All Saints Church. And he became Archdeacon of Athabasca in 1928. And because of the difficulty in people obtaining high school education, he decided that the parish of Athabasca should construct two hospitals, one for girls and one for boys. And so with help from friends in Ireland and in Great Britain, they received a certain sum of money, and they put up the girls' hostel and the boys' hostel. These two hostels operated on a non-profit basis, and looking over some of the old records, you'll find that students paid their fees largely in potatoes and carrots and meat and produce. There were one or two people who were able to provide some cash, but a good portion of the income from the hostel in the early days was actually from produce. And it enabled a great many young people in the district to come into town and get a high school education. At that time, I believe the one-room school went up to grade 8. And if you wanted to go beyond that, you had to come to town. Of course, it was difficult to find a place to board, one thing or another. And so the idea of a hostel served a very great need. The hostels went out of existence about 7 years ago, simply because of the change in transportation and the change in the kind of student that required room and board. What was happening was they were getting in young people who had emotional problems and one thing and another, and the building was never set up to accommodate any kind of counseling situation, and so the whole project was dropped. Archdeacon Little, in working in the parish of Holy Trinity that I had referred to before in the photograph, used to assist the van workers, and used to do regular visiting and take services out at Big Cooley. And they had a log building that was used for a church. And a man by the name of Mr. Charles Gora Sr. Was one of the leading laymen. A great many people in that area were not Anglican. They were people of Polish and Ukrainian origin. Some were Lutheran, some were members of the Polish National Catholic Church. And the Archdeacon ministered to all these people. And since Mr. Gora was able to read and write English quite well, the Archdeacon used to read his sermons sentence by sentence, and after he'd read a sentence, then Mr. Gora would translate into either Polish or into Ukrainian, and so the service would progress. And in this way, the congregation was built up. Many of the families who are attending this church today, their parents were there and grandparents were there when the foundations were being laid for this Christian community. And the present church was completed in 1956, and it was dedicated by the Bishop of Athabasca, the Reverend R.J. Pierce. I think that pretty well covers All Saints Athabasca, and perhaps I should have mentioned that when it was decided, Bishop Robbins built the church here, All Saints, and St. Matthew's, the log church, used to be in existence on the same lot just to the south here for quite a number of years. It was torn. Did you ever see it?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it used to be just out here, and it wasn't too long ago that they had to tear it down because of the shape it was in. There was just no way they could restore it, and so it was torn down. I think we should go and look in the memorial room, and then you'll get some idea of the various people